Thank you for speaking to us this morning, for we have ears to hear what your Spirit is saying to us as your church. Open the eyes of our understanding, dear Lord, we pray, that we may behold wondrous things out of your word. And as we hear, help us to mix faith with that which we hear, so that we may be doers of your word and not hearers alone. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone says, amen. Praise God. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Let us read together from verse 7 right through to verse 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 to 10. Let's go. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. Amen and amen. Praise God. Before we look very closely at verse 9, let us look at that verse 10 and see how Paul, after God had opened his understanding to see things from God's perspective, began now to declare how he would gladly rejoice in experiences that none of us would naturally want to rejoice about. I mean, the things that are listed here, they are not things that will make us to want to rejoice, naturally speaking. If any of us go through these things, we'll probably just want to complain or maybe pity ourselves or look for people to pity us, and or maybe sometimes even look for people to blame for the negative experiences of life. But look at it again in verse 10. Therefore, you see, therefore tells us that there is a reason why Paul is thinking this way now. Therefore, because of the revelation God showed to him in verse 9, you see. Now, therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. Isn't that wonderful? I take pleasure. Now I delight in those same things that I've been praying to God about and asking God to remove from me, because they are not very comfortable. They are not things that I want in my life. But now I see through the eyes of God that it is not about just getting rid of those things out of my life. It is much more about God being present with me as I go through those experiences, so that whatsoever the enemy intended by bringing those negative experiences to my life, his plans will not succeed. You know, God has a way of frustrating the plans of the enemy, and he wants us to understand that very, very clearly. You know, in most cases, what we just want is, God, get rid of this thing. God, get rid of this thing. But God says, that thing can't even bother you one bit if you will trust in me. I know how to take you through the valley of the shadow of death, and no evil will befall you. Even one strand of the hair on your head will not fall to the ground without my knowledge. I know how to hold your goings up in my hand so that you will never fall, no matter how many times the enemy tries to bring you down. I mean, isn't that wonderful? Isn't that victory in the best definition of it? When every weapon formed against me don't prosper, then I have victory. It's not about not having weapons formed against me. It's about not seeing the weapons prosper against me. See, that's victory. And that's the way God really wants to help every one of us to live victoriously. He wants us to learn to trust in His presence with us as we go through every experience of life. We may not understand why, but God knows what He's doing. And as we trust in Him, He knows how to frustrate every plan of the evil one. He will not succeed against us if we trust in God. And so, Paul here, being buffeted by the messenger of Satan in the course of his doing what God had called him to do, you see, Paul was not even being buffeted for his own faults. He was being buffeted for serving the Lord. You see, the devil will come against you because you belong to Jesus. He doesn't like your Jesus. And because you've taken sides with Jesus, He doesn't like you too. And I don't expect you to like Him too. Because He's an adversary. So we have to stand strong on the Lord's side. Trusting in Him, having faith in Him, and realizing that He has actually brought us the key to overcoming in every circumstance of life. And that's where we are going this morning. There is a key that God has given to us as Christians. And that key will always give us the victory in every situation that is contrary to us. And that was what God taught Paul here. And when he understood it, Paul began to write in every letter he wrote to every church by praying that one thing for the church. If you read through all the epistles that Paul wrote, you always find the word grace, 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 grace. Why? Because he caught a revelation of what grace could do. God taught him how grace had been brought for us through Jesus Christ, and that is the key to overcoming every circumstance that is contrary to you. Forget about the devil, what he's doing. If you will just hook up with the grace of God, you will overcome him in that situation. And so, Paul was doing what we all would naturally do. Oh, I have problem. God, get rid of it. Get rid of it. Get rid of it quickly, oh God. I don't want this in my life. Just get rid of it. God says, don't worry about it. Depend on my grace. And you find out that that thing actually has no power to hurt you. Because my grace is more than enough to help you overcome. You see, let us put it this way. While God is working to sort our lives out, He has given us what we need to bear up under every pressure and to overcome every challenge, so that at the end of the day, everything the enemy brings against us don't prosper one bit. And at the end of the day, obviously, God would have sorted everything out for us. Because we never heard anymore throughout the pages of the Bible, after this experience, we never heard that Paul complained about the messenger of Satan anymore. What happened? Well, he hooked up with grace. And while God was working to sort out the messenger of Satan, all the things that the devil was doing against Paul could not prosper because grace was holding Paul up far above the plans of the enemy. Now, let's look very closely at verse 9. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient. sufficient for thee. My grace, very specific, the grace of God. Not just any grace now, but the grace of God himself. My grace is sufficient. The word sufficient there means enough. It is enough for you. You don't need any extra. My grace is enough for you. My grace is enough for you, Paul. You don't need anything else. Don't even look for any other solution. Just depend on my grace, because my grace is enough for you. Well, if God says something is enough for us, we better believe him. We better realize that God, who is perfect, who is omnipotent, and who has the understanding of everything, whenever he says something, that is the truth. We should just take it like that and not try to add to it or subtract from it. If God says something is sufficient, just say, yes, Lord. It may not look sufficient to me based on my human understanding, but I know you know better than me. So I agree with you, and I thank you that you have given me what I need. I don't need any other. I don't even have any reason to think of any other, because you have already said to me, this is sufficient for me. This is all I need in this situation. This is all I need to overcome this situation. This is all I need as a defense against the enemy in this situation. I believe one of the greatest problems we have is the tendency for us to rely on self too much. Because we lived in the world for so long before we came to Christ, and our flesh was developed for so many years before we came to Christ, and now we are having to learn a new way of living. A way of living without relying on ourselves. So that's going to take time. Because all along we relied on self. It's all about what I can do, what I can do. Oh, I can do this, so I'm weak in that area. Oh, I can do this. Oh, praise God. Oh, bless God. I have ability. And a little pride sets in there. And even the things we think we can do, sometimes we mess up, and then we put ourselves through unnecessary misery. And those things we can't do, we just feel so bad about them. And sometimes we get jealous of those who can do what we can do. Because that's the way of the flesh. Oh, how come they can do that and I can't do it? As long as we rely on self, we will never live a life of fulfillment. We will always feel a sense of inadequacy. And so Jesus brought us the way to live selflessly by depending on him. He said, apart from me, you can do nothing. So the Christian life is a life of dependence on Jesus, not a life of depending on ourselves anymore. When Christ came, self died in us, and we began a new life in Christ himself. It's all about Jesus now. It's all about living in him. It's all about living by him. It's all about living through him. It's all about living for him. Everything about the Christian life is Jesus and Jesus alone. And so he said to Paul, my grace is sufficient for thee. No wonder the Bible tells us that Jesus brought us grace. He brought us what is sufficient for us. In John chapter 1, that's exactly what the Bible tells us. The law was given by Moses. Grace and truth came by Jesus. So as Jesus came to this world, he brought us grace. He brought us what is sufficient for us. He brought us what will help us to have victory in every situation that is contrary to us in this life. I don't care how many demons are out there. I don't care how ferocious the devil is against us. If we will simply depend on the grace of God, we will realize that the devil actually has no power to carry out his plans. Because where grace is present, the power of God takes over. And God is greater than the devil. Bible says greater is he who is in us than he that is in the world. And you and I don't even need any prophet to tell us that if we can find a greater than someone else in any situation, and we side in with that greater one, then we have the victory. Isn't that so? If we can identify somebody that is stronger than the others in any circumstance, and we take sides with the stronger one, praise God, I'll begin to smile and say, ha, I'm on the winning side. Bless God, I'm on the winning side because the stronger one is with me. And that is what God wants us to understand. We have what is sufficient for us in every circumstance of life. My grace is sufficient for thee. Remember, Paul was praying initially that God should get rid of the problem. Just get rid of this messenger of Satan. After all, I'm serving you, O God. I'm your servant. And I'm being buffeted for doing your work. Why are you not doing something about it and getting rid of this messenger of Satan that is following me everywhere I go, trying to do what you call me to do? This messenger of Satan just goes everywhere to try to mess things up for me. Get rid of him, oh God, so that I can serve you better. You see, that's the way we will think. Oh God, just get rid of this devil. Get him out of the way so I can serve you better. God says, no, don't worry about him. Don't worry about him. Just hook up with my grace. And you realize that that messenger of Satan can't even succeed in all his plans against you. My strength will see you through. My strength will give you the overcoming edge over the devil. You see? So, and he said, my grace is sufficient. Again, the word sufficient means enough. My grace is enough. The word grace there has two basic meanings. Number one, the favor of God. In other words, my favor that will surround you as a shield. As the devil goes about trying to mess you up and trying to make people turn away from you and turn against you, my favor will surround you as a shield so that where you go, the people that the enemy tries to use to turn against you will not be able to succeed, because I will open doors of favor with you and for you in places where they cannot get to. And you know that happened to Paul. He will go to many cities and people will stir up people, and the Jews will stir up people against Paul. But then God will raise up just one person to speak up for Paul. And then the crowd will disperse and go home. You see how the messenger of Satan will fail? Because God will surround you with favor. The devil tries to stop you. God opens doors for you by his favor where he can't shut. After all, God says, I'm the one that openeth, no one can shut. And I am the one that shuts and no one can open. You know, we focus too much on what the enemy is doing instead of focusing on God, who has the power to put the enemy under our feet. Many of us, even as Christians, are more concerned about the devil than we are concerned about God. It's time for us to wake up. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Didn't Jesus say to us in Luke chapter 10 verse 19, behold, you see, we have to behold. The problem is we are not beholding. Behold means look and see clearly. You know, sometimes you can look and not really see because you don't pay attention to what you are looking at. So God says, look, pay attention to it, and clearly see it. I have given you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all, keyword all the power of the enemy. And then to add to that, he promises, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Well, if nothing shall by any means hurt me, then why am I worried about what the devil is doing? God cannot lie. The problem with me is I'm not hooking up with grace. Because if I hook up with grace, then nothing shall by any means hurt me. And I have authority over all the powers of the enemy. Therefore, you messenger of Satan, I don't even have time to worry about you. Because all your plans cannot succeed anyway. The stronger than you is in me. The stronger than you, devil, is with me. His name is Jesus. He has already defeated you. Therefore, I don't have time to worry about you. I'm focused on Jesus. Hallelujah. It's time for us to wake up as the church and simply hook up with what God has given us, which is sufficient for us in every circumstance of life, and that is grace. So number one, it is the favor of God. And then number two, it is the strength or power of God himself to overshadow us in all areas of our own human weakness, so that what we couldn't do on our own, now we have God's strength to do. So when Paul caught a revelation of that, it changed his focus, and it changed his attitude, and it changed his prayer. He stopped praying, God, get rid of the messenger of Satan. He started praying grace now. Remember, every letter he wrote to the church, from this point onwards, when he caught revelation of grace, every letter, it will begin with prayer for grace and close with prayer for grace. He wasn't praying anymore for God, get rid of the devil. He was praying for grace. Well, if we also remember in Luke chapter 22, how Jesus, before he went to the cross, called Peter one day and said, Peter, come. Let me tell you what's about to happen to you. Let me tell you what the devil has planned to do with you. Because I have seen the plans of the devil ahead of time concerning you, Peter. Satan himself has desired to have you, Peter, so that he may sift you like wheat. You know, that's not an easy thing. When you sift somebody like wheat, it means you really grind that person. You take that person through the mill. That's not a pleasant experience. When the devil takes you through the mill, oh, my. Remember how he took Job through the mill? If it wasn't for the fact that God put a marker and said, well, you can't go beyond that boundary, you can't touch his life, he would have killed Job too. Because he has come to kill, to steal, and to destroy. But he did all he could to destroy Job's life. But thank God, Job did one thing that we all must learn to do. He remained faithful to God. Even though he didn't understand why he was going through what he was going through, he said, nevertheless, he slay me, I will still trust in him. And at the end of the day, Job's life was better than before the devil came to mess him up. He had twice as much because he remained faithful to God. Now, so when Jesus said to Peter, the devil has desired to have you so that he may sift you like wheat, then he proceeds to tell Peter the plan of victory. He said, but I have prayed for you that your faith will not fail. Notice the prayer of Jesus, that your faith will not fail. Some of us will not be able to pray that. In fact, most of us, when the devil is about to come against us, oh, that's when we get our binding and loosing prayer in motion. Devil, I bind you. I bind you. Thou shalt not touch the anointed of the Lord. Well, there's nothing wrong with praying that way. But you see, as we begin to understand God better, our prayer life also will rise up to higher heights. Then we begin to see that, oh, it's not so much about wasting my time binding the enemy. Because if I hook up with grace, the strength of God, the devil is already bound. Because he has no power against the strength of God. When the strength of God is with me, I'm more than a conqueror in every situation, Bible says, through him that has loved me. So if I would just develop the strength of God in my life, in that situation, then every plan of the devil will come to nothing. Every plan of the devil will come to nothing. So that was what Jesus did for Peter. He said, I've prayed for you that your faith will not fail. Now, why did he pray for the faith of Peter not to fail? It is because, as we shall see in a short while, when you walk by faith, faith leads you only to one destination. You know, don't let people complicate this message of faith for you. Faith is the simplest thing God has given us in the world, but it's so difficult for us when we want to walk by the flesh. But if we want to walk by the Spirit, faith is the simplest thing to do. I tell you, it's so simple because faith itself will carry you in a particular direction. And that particular direction is called grace. Faith always, 100 times out of 100, lead you into the grace of God. If you are walking by the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ, you end up in grace that is sufficient for you. We shall see that very clearly in a short while. That was why Jesus simply prayed for the faith of Peter not to fail, because Jesus knew that as long as Peter will walk by faith, his grace will be sufficient for him. The grace of God is always sufficient for us in every situation. So let us stop worrying about the situation. Let us start finding a way of tapping into the grace of God in that situation. And then we overcome it. It's as simple as that. And so again, 2 Corinthians 12 verse 9. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. The word perfect there means to be complete. To have a way of walking completely to accomplish the purpose of God. You know, in most cases, the reason why the power of God cannot work for us is actually us, not the devil. Our flesh. Galatians chapter 5 tells us the flesh is contrary to the spirit, and the spirit is contrary to the flesh. So when I'm in the flesh, I hinder the spirit of grace from working, because it can't help me as long as I'm in the flesh. I'll have to get myself out of the flesh. In other words, out of my ways that are just my own ways rather than God's ways. That's what the flesh means there in Galatians chapter 5. The ways of man in a fallen state that is contrary to God's own ways. In other words, every way I go that is not in line with the word of God is the way of flesh. The way I know that I'm in the spirit is by doing everything according to the word of God. I don't need to seek the glory cloud before I know that I'm in the spirit. I don't need to see the chairs moving at church before I know the Holy Spirit is there. When I'm in the word, I'm in the spirit. Hallelujah. Because Jesus said, the words that I speak unto you, they have spirit and they are life. And if I'm not focused on the word and I'm looking for the spirit, the devil come as an angel of light and deceive me. You know how many people say, oh, the spirit said. And then when they tell you what they heard from the spirit, you know that's not the Holy Spirit speaking to them. They are hearing the voice of the stranger, but they cannot discern between the voice of God and the voice of the devil because they are ignorant of the truth. If you don't know the truth, the devil is a liar. He will deceive you. You have to know the truth in order to discern clearly the voice of God and distinguish it from the voice of the devil, who many times will disguise as the angel of light. He may come to you and take one scripture out of context and quote it to you. And if you don't really understand the counsel of God, you'll think that's God speaking to you. You won't know it's the devil. That's why you have to sit down with your Bible as a Christian day and night and get to know God for yourself and know Him really good so you don't fall for deception. Remember how the devil came to Jesus in the temptation in the wilderness? After the first temptation, if you be the Son of God, you are hungry, aren't you? If you are the Son of God, you have the power to make food for yourself. This is stone here, just turn it into bread. Use your power. But God didn't send Jesus to take instruction from the devil. Because whosoever you yield yourself servant to obey becomes your master. You see the trick? It was like a good suggestion, trying to help Jesus. You are hungry. Make food for yourself. You know how sometimes some well-meaning people will come and give you advice, but the advice is wrong. It's not the way of God. They are trying to help you, but you see, they are ignorant of God's ways, and the devil is trying to use them to lead you astray. That's why you have to know God clearly, so you don't fall into the trap of the enemy. It was like helping Jesus. You are hungry. Well, do something about the hunger. This is stone. You are the Son of God. You have power. Perform the miracle and feed yourself. And he would have lost it. Well, when the devil saw that he didn't fall for that trick, he said, all right, okay now. Because Jesus quoted the scripture. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Well, the devil said, okay, let me try and catch him by using the it is written also against him. See, we are dealing with a real enemy. Very, very cunning. So, okay, all right then. Okay, then you jump from this height. After all, it is written. This is the devil quoting scripture now. It is written, I will give my angels charge over you. Well, that's the word of God truly. But God didn't put that there for us to tempt God and deliberately jump to prove that God can keep us from falling. I mean, that's foolishness. Why should I deliberately jump? It's a different thing if somebody pushes me and then I stand on that wall and say, well, praise God, no one of my bones will be broken. The angels of the Lord are encamped round about me. Then they will hold me and I will not break any of my bones because I didn't intentionally jump. Somebody tried to kill me and then the word of God saves me. But if I deliberately jump, then I'm tempting God. Imagine what would have happened if Jesus didn't know the counsel of God clearly. He would have said, well, that's God's word. Yeah, I remember. I even read it yesterday. Ah, that's from Psalm 91. That must be God speaking. Okay, let's go. Boom! Then they would just laugh. I got him! And that's the end. But thank God, Jesus knew the truth. Say to your neighbor, you need to know the truth. That's what will make you free. Amen. So, the grace of God is sufficient for us because the strength of God is made perfect. The strength of God can work completely in our weakness. You know, when you are really weak, truly, and you come to the end of yourself, you really know within yourself there's nothing else you can do. So you stop hindering God from working. Isn't that so? You know, you are like a man who has been struggling in the water, trying to stay afloat. But then the more you struggle, the less you see yourself floating. In fact, you are flopping about in the water, but then you realize you are going down more. And then suddenly somebody shows up and says, relax. Just relax. I'm a good swimmer. I can get you out of this water. But stop struggling, just relax. If you keep flapping about, I can't help you. So you just have to relax and trust in me that I will get you out of this water. Well, the man has flapped all about. Okay, just go on. Just get me out. And truly, he will be saved. Because he has come to the end of himself. But if he still thinks that he could save himself, it's going to hinder the person trying to save him. In most cases, it is because we think we can do something that we hinder the power of God from really helping us. God resists the proud. He gives grace to the humble. When you come before God and you say, God, I don't have any might. I don't even know what to do like Jehoshaphat did. Then the strength of God will work perfectly for you. Because there's no more flesh to hinder the spirit in your life. So when Paul caught a revelation of that, look at what he then said again in verse 10. When he caught a revelation that God's strength is made perfect in weakness. Let's look at the latter part of verse 9 first. Most gladly, therefore, you see the reason. Now, immediately, Paul changed his attitude, changed his perspective, and began to see things exactly like God saw them. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. In other words, most gladly will I rather glory in my weaknesses. The word infirmity there means weaknesses. In my inadequacies. In all my own human feebleness and frailties. Because now I realize it's not about me anymore. It's about the grace of God. So when I'm weak, praise God, grace can work fully in my life. And the strength of God can have full control of the situation. Say to your neighbor, grace is all you need. Stop worrying yourself. Trying to help yourself. Because you can't help yourself. You need grace of God to help you. Amen. So, he changed his attitude. And he began to take pleasure in those same things that he was crying to God in prayer for. Because he realized, as long as grace is there, he would overcome every one of them. Let's also turn quickly to chapter 9, 2 Corinthians, while we're there in the book of 2 Corinthians. The grace of God is sufficient for us. It's enough. More than enough, actually. We don't need any other. Just wake up every morning and say, praise God, all I need for today is the grace of God. And then I have to then take steps to get the grace that I need for that day. And we shall see that in a short while before we close. Just get your pen and paper ready also. I'll dictate some points for you to take home and study more on your own. But here in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, let us read together verse 8. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. Hallelujah. Now notice, again, we are talking about the grace of God, not any other kind of grace, because God is the God of grace. So, God has the ability to make all grace. All grace there means all manner of grace for all manner of need. God has grace for every need in our lives. There is grace for healing. There is grace for peace. There is grace for joy. There is grace for favor. There is grace for breakthroughs. Whatsoever your need may be, there is the grace of God that has been prepared to meet that need in your life. And as we shall see also in a short while, that's why the Bible tells us when we have need, we must come to the throne of grace. Come boldly unto the throne of grace. that you may obtain mercy and find grace to help you in the time of need. Because the Christian life is the life of grace. Jesus brought us grace which is sufficient for us in every situation of life. We are more than conquerors in every situation. None of us should be defeated by any circumstance of life. Because God has given birth to a victorious church. We just need to live by grace and access the grace by faith. That's all. There's no other way. So God is able to make all grace to abound. In other words, abundance of grace coming your way. Again, look at the word sufficiency associated with grace. So that you always having all sufficiency. You see, when grace is in motion, there will be sufficiency in your life. There will be no lack. You will not lack strength. You will not lack joy. You will not lack peace. You will not lack blessings and favor. Everything that pertains to life and godliness will be abundant toward you in the grace of God. No wonder Paul said, I am what I am by the grace of God. You see, when he caught the revelation of grace, he began to say, well, all that I am, all that I have is by the grace of God. So God is able to make all grace to abound toward you so that you always, see again, key word, always, not occasionally, but always. Isn't that wonderful? Always, always sufficient. Always sufficient. No lack at any time. Always sufficient. I don't lack joy at any time. I don't lack peace at any time. Because the grace of God is there for me. Someone says, but you are going through hardship. Well, the grace is bigger than the hardship. Because when grace is in motion, the hardship is subject to the grace of God. The power of God subdues all things to himself, Bible says. God has power by which he subdues all things to himself. That's the key. That's the key. The grace of God. Always having all sufficiency in all things. Oh, all things. All things that pertain to life and godliness. Praise God. Please write these points down and take them home. I'll give you some scriptures. Study them. Because we will not be able to go through every scripture in the service. See, we come to church. We get challenged by the word of God as we share it. But then we have a responsibility after that to go back home like the Berean Christians and look up all those verses of scripture and check whether what the preacher said is exactly as God said it in his word. Don't just say the preacher said and then, oh, I'm going home. Praise God, the preacher has preached. No, you have to check whether the preacher really preached what God is saying. Like the Berean Christians. That's why you have to listen only to messages that give you clear direction from the word of God. You have to have verses of scripture from what you hear the preacher preach so that you can go back and check for yourself whether it is so. Because if you can't do that, then you may end up, you know, taking in a wrong doctrine without knowing, and that will mess you up spiritually. We mustn't joke with wrong doctrine. It will harm us spiritually. You know, just like naturally, if you eat poisonous food, it's going to trouble you, upset your stomach, and if you are not careful, it may even kill you. So you have to treat wrong doctrine the same way. It's going to defile your spirit and soul. Don't even take it in. That's why I check first whether the message is exactly as God has said it in his word before you begin to believe it. Otherwise, you may take in wrong things and end up going astray spiritually. All right, please write this down. In Jesus Christ, God has given us what is always sufficient for us, no matter the need we may have. In Jesus Christ, God has given us what is always sufficient for us, no matter the need we may have. In front of that, please write the scriptures. John chapter 1, verses 14 to 17. And Romans chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. Those two scriptures point out clearly to us that grace is only found in Christ Jesus. He brought it for us. He brought it for us. Our justification is through Him. And we are now standing in His grace as Christians. Next, please write this down. We were saved, that is, we became Christians, by grace. In front of that, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. And then continue the statement by saying, and we are kept standing in grace all our Christian lives. There is no day of your life that God will take you out of grace. No one second of your life that God wants to see you out of grace, because that's where you are standing in Christ. You are standing in the grace of God. And you have to understand that. I was saved by grace. Now I'm standing in grace, and I must continue in grace until Christ comes. No other way to live. The Christian life is the life of grace from beginning to the end. And in front of that latter part, write Romans chapter 5 verse 2. We are standing in that grace of God all our Christian lives. Next, please write this. God invites us to come to grace whenever we have a need. Now you begin to see again the plan of God. We were saved by grace. We are standing in grace. God says when we have a need, we come to the throne of grace, because grace is what will meet the need. We don't go to man to meet our need. We go to the throne of grace, where Jesus has ascended to sit right at the right hand side of the Father to continually dispense to us the grace. That's why the Bible says He ever lives to make intercession for the saints. The ministry of Jesus as our great high priest continues in heaven. He ever lives to make intercession for the saints, to ensure that the grace is always abounding towards His own who walk by faith and not by sight. That's all. All you need to do is walk by faith. The grace of God will be there for you. Because faith, you can say it this way, faith is like a vehicle that you enter into, and automatically, once you enter into that vehicle, it will take you straight, non-stop. It doesn't stop on the way. Straight into grace. Just see yourself that once I enter into faith vehicle, I will end up at the destination called grace. I myself don't need to find where the grace is. Just get into faith, and faith will carry me there. Hallelujah. So God invites us to come to grace whenever we have a need. In front of that, Hebrews chapter 4 verse 16. And complete that statement by saying, because it is always sufficient for us. And then in front of that latter part, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. Next, the way to access grace is through faith. The way to access grace is through faith. So how do I get into this grace that I need in this area of my life right now? I have a situation. I need help from God. And God asks grace to help me in that time of need. So how do I get the grace? God says faith. Faith is the doorway. Faith is the access into the grace. Romans chapter 5 verse 2. The word access there in Romans chapter 5 verse 2 literally means the doorway. The doorway by which you enter into grace. That's why when you walk by faith, faith will just carry you through that doorway and get you into the grace of God that is prepared to meet that specific need in your life. Remember, we read from 2 Corinthians chapter 9, how God is able to make all grace, all manner of grace available for all manner of need in our lives. So you can say this way, if you don't have faith, then you don't have grace. No faith, no grace. Because the way into grace is faith. So if you don't have faith, you can't get in. It's like somebody trying to enter and he doesn't have a key. How can you enter when you don't have the key? You remain outside of the room until you have the key to open the door and get in. So, if I don't have faith, then I can't have grace to meet that need in my life. You see where we should change ourselves as Christians. That's why we encourage one another, spend time in the Word of God. Spend time, day and night in the Word of God, because you need faith to access the grace of God. If you don't have faith, then no grace. And if you don't have grace, then you can't have victory in the situation, because none of us in our human strength can have the victory. If Paul, as anointed as he was, and as much as he had been caught to the third heaven, the paradise of God, and he had seen glorious things that he could not even repeat for any of us to hear, because they were secret things of God, and he sealed them up. And as much as he saw the glory of Jesus himself and heard the voice of Jesus himself on the road to Damascus, as much as everywhere he went, Bible says God did extraordinary things by his hand. Many sick were healed. Many oppressed people were set free of the oppression. But here is Paul himself being buffeted by the messenger of Satan. And he couldn't even do anything, in quotes, in his own human power. He couldn't rebuke the devil. I said, devil, get away from me. And yet this same Paul, remember, when he met a girl that was possessed with the spirit of divination, commanded the spirit to come out of the girl. But now this same Paul is being buffeted by the messenger of Satan. It's like he couldn't do anything about it. Are you learning something from that? The truth of the matter is, none of us can really do anything about anything in our lives. If we want success, we need God's grace. We want victory, we need God's grace. You find that sometimes God can use you easily to be a blessing to others, but the same situation in your own life, you struggle with it. And it's the message God wants us to learn, that apart from him, there is nothing we can do. The fact that God uses us to bless others does not mean that we are strong in ourselves. God can use us in spite of ourselves, but we still have to work out our own salvation ourselves. It's like the saying goes, physician, heal thyself. You are healing everybody else. Heal yourself now. And you realize you can't really heal yourself. If God doesn't heal you, you can't heal yourself. You see the key? Because the Christian life is a life of dependence on Jesus Christ. Every one of us, we are branches on him. It does not matter what our callings may be. We may be called as apostle, prophet, or whatever. We still need grace for our own selves individually. That was why Paul, even though God did miracles by his hand to bless others, he himself couldn't even get rid of this Satan. But God showed him the way of grace, and he learned from that. And he began to teach the church everywhere the way of grace. Hallelujah. Thank God for revelation of the truth. So the way of access to the grace of God is through faith. Romans 5:2, Ephesians chapter 2 verse 8, and Romans chapter 4 verse 16. Please look up all those scriptures. Every one of them show us clearly that faith and grace go together. You never see faith, you know, operating without leading you into grace. And you never get grace without faith carrying you there. We were saved by grace through faith. Ephesians 2 verse 8 tells us. Romans 5:2 tells us we have access into the grace of God through faith. And Romans 4 verse 16 tells us exactly the same thing, that therefore it is of faith so that it might be by grace. So faith and grace work together. If there is faith, there will be grace. If there is no faith, no grace. Finally, please write this down. The Christian faith that we live by is always based on the Word of God. If you want to live by a genuine faith, you have to live by the Word of God. The Christian faith is based on the Word of God. It's not about how we think or how smart we think we are in our own human intellect. It's about what the Word of God says. Sometimes when you are walking by faith, you look foolish in the eyes of people. Because my Bible tells me that the wisdom of God is foolishness to man. In fact, for instance, some people can't understand why you are here this morning. Why don't you go and enjoy yourself? Enjoy your life. Maybe go to a pub somewhere. Or just go and entertain yourself somewhere. Why would you carry Bible and go to church on Sunday when there are so many other things that you can do to enjoy yourself? Well, you see, they don't understand that they've been blinded by the devil. That the wisdom of God actually is to seek God as your source of help in every situation. Because apart from him, there is nothing you can do. You know where your help is coming from. That's why you are carrying your Bible to go there. Hallelujah. That's wisdom. Genuine wisdom. In front of that, please write Romans chapter 10, verse 17. So the Christian faith is based on the Word of God. And once we walk by that kind of faith, we will enter into the grace of God, and that grace is always sufficient for us in every situation. Therefore, we overcome every circumstance of life. Thank God we are more than conquerors through him that has loved us. Say to your neighbor, you are an overcomer by the grace of God. No matter the situation, just build your faith up on the Word of God, and faith itself will connect you with grace to give you the victory. Amen. Isn't that wonderful? I don't need to struggle to have the victory. Once I have faith, faith knows what to do. Faith will take me into grace. That is why, in fact, let's turn to this before we close. Turn with me quickly to Hebrews chapter 4. You see, that's why the Bible teaches us we have to understand the way of God and stop walking in our own human ways and struggling on our own and getting frustrated at the end of the day. God said in Hosea chapter 4 verse 6, my people perish because of lack of knowledge. Ignorance is our problem, not the devil. The devil only takes advantage of our ignorance. Because when we know the truth, we will defeat the devil. He's a liar and a deceiver. How can a liar get me? Or how can a deceiver fool me when I know the truth? Look at what Bible tells us here. Hebrews chapter 4, I tell you, it is so wonderful when we know that every time we walk by the faith of Jesus Christ, we can enter into a place of rest. We don't need to struggle on our own. We don't need to try in our human flesh. Verses 9 and 10, we are going to read that together. I will encourage you to read the whole chapter. If I read Hebrews chapter 3 and chapter 4 together, you'll understand faith better when you read those two chapters, because you see the examples of the children of Israel in the time of old, how they missed the mark just because of unbelief. Just because of unbelief. They just lacked faith, and that was why they messed up. And we are to learn from them and not, you know, fall into the same error, Bible says. So please read the two chapters together. But let's read verses 9 and 10. Hebrews chapter 4, let's go. there remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that is entered into his rest, he also hath ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Hallelujah. Now notice, Bible says, for us as God's people, there is a rest available for us. We know ultimately it's talking about the final rest, which we will have when we enter into glory in the new kingdom, where no more pain, no more sorrow. But progressively, right from the day Jesus comes into your life, because Bible says eternity is in Jesus, eternal life is in him, and whosoever has the Son has eternal life. So God, just as he told the children of Israel, you need to read the book of Deuteronomy and see how God told them that if they will walk in obedience to his ways and his words, even while they were here on earth, he will make their days as the days of heaven on earth. They don't need to wait for the sweet by and by before they begin to live heaven's life now. And it's the same thing for the church. By faith, you can live heaven's life now. By faith, you can live in all the blessings of the kingdom of heaven while you are here on earth. And that's what God is saying here. And look at verse 10. For he that is entered into his rest, he also hath ceased from his own works. That's why when you are in faith, you are not doing any human fleshly works anymore. You just enter into the works of Jesus himself, which he finished for you, and you rest. Why? Because faith will just carry you into grace. You can sleep in the boat, and faith will take care of you and take you to your destination. You are going to the other side. Storm or no storm, praise the Lord, hallelujah. Faith knows how to steer me into grace. Storm cannot stop faith from working. Why? Because Ephesians chapter 6 verse 16, and taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery dart of the wicked one. You see now, the moment you are in faith, the devil is out of business in your life. And faith will just carry you through the storm into the victory. You don't need to walk on your own. You rest, and faith does the work for you. So the work we should be doing is the work of studying our Bible to build up ourselves in our most holy faith. Jesus said, this is the work that you believe. That's the work for us as Christians. Not to try to do it in our human flesh, but to believe, to have faith. So we work on ourselves day and night to become a people that live by faith. And faith will carry us into grace. And sufficiency will come our way. And may God help you always to have sufficiency in all things in your life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now let's turn to Zechariah chapter 4. We are going to just pray. Simple prayer. When you get home, you can do it more. Have more time to do it than we do it in the service. But just to show you one simple thing that you can always do. You see, the word of God is the basis of our faith. We meditate on it, and then we allow the faith of God to help us by connecting us with the grace of God. So whether we talk about the Old Testament or the New Testament, we find the consistency of God all through. God never changes. So don't listen to people who will tell you, well, you don't need to study the Old Testament anymore, that the church was born in the New Testament. So you don't need Old Testament anymore. Well, if you really study the book of Acts, you find out that they made more reference to the Old Testament than even the New. They quoted from the Old Testament everything. In fact, most of the epistles of Paul, he wrote them to explain what God already said in the Old Testament, to bring us revelation. And here we see exactly God saying the same thing that we've just read tonight, I mean this morning. Let's read together verses 6 and 7, Zechariah chapter 4. Then he answered and spake unto me, saying, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Who art thou, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel, thou shalt become a plain, And he shall bring forth the headstone thereof with shoutings, crying, grace, grace unto it. Hallelujah. Remember, you know the background. When you get home, study it again to refresh your memory. Zerubbabel was going to help restore things in the city of God, build the temple of God, and put everything back in shape. But then there was opposition. You know, just like when you want to do anything God tells you to do, the devil is going to try to oppose you. Just the same way with Nehemiah trying to rebuild the broken walls of Jerusalem. You see how the devil stirred up opposition against him. But you see, God told Zerubbabel, every obstacle, the word mountain there literally stands for obstacle to hinder you. They will become plain. But the way you are going to get them to be plain is by shouting grace, grace to it. Hallelujah. So this is the word. What does the word do? The word brings you faith. Faith connects you with grace. And then every plan of the devil fails because the power of God takes control through his grace. So this morning, whatsoever your challenges are, what are the problems you have here this morning? What are the things that the enemy is doing against you? Just as the messenger of Satan came against Paul. Just as all through the pages of the Bible, we saw the patriarchs facing challenges at different times in their lives, and God helping them to overcome them. The grace of God is still available for us. So whatsoever your need may be here this morning, I want you to recall to your mind what the Bible says about that need. You see, we don't deny the fact that as long as we're in this world, we are going to have contrary situations, because the devil is our adversary, the Bible says. He's against us. He doesn't sleep, he doesn't slumber, so he works 24 hours a day to try to mess us up, to try to hinder us, to try to cause us trouble in all areas of life. It will cause us trouble at home. It will cause us trouble at work. It will cause us trouble in the family. It will cause us trouble in the community. It will even attempt to cause us trouble in the church. But you see, God has given us what we need to overcome him. Faith in the word, connecting us with the grace of God, gives us the victory at all times. So whatsoever your need may be, just call to mind what the Bible says about that need. You need healing? What does the Bible say about sickness? You need favor? What does the Bible say about favor of God toward you as a righteous person? You lack wisdom? What does the Bible say about God giving you wisdom? You need breakthroughs in your life? What does the Bible say about God making a way for you where there seems to be no way? Whatsoever your need, just call to your mind what the Bible says. And as you call to your mind what the Bible says, make a choice within your heart to say, I choose to believe the word of God with all my heart. I'm not going to focus on the need. I'm not looking to the storm like Peter and sinking. I'm looking to Jesus, the author and the finisher of my faith, and I'm walking on the water right through the storms of life. So you have to make a choice to say, I believe God. I believe the word of God. And I believe that it shall be unto me exactly as the word of God says. I don't care what the devil has done. The word of God is my portion of inheritance. The devil is a loser in my life. I expect God's word to come to pass for me. And if you have done that, now I want you to speak to that situation as God told Zerubbabel to do, and shout grace, grace to it. in the name of Jesus. Go ahead and do that. But first of all, believe the word, what the Bible says about that need with all your heart, so that when you shout grace, you are declaring it in faith to make the connection with the grace to meet the need. So go ahead and shout grace. Shout grace at the mountain. Shout grace at that need. Shout grace at it. Someone says, can the need hear? Yes, it can hear. It can hear. Everything hears the voice of God, because everything was created by the word of God. That was why God told Ezekiel in the vision, in the valley of dry bones, and told him, son of man, prophesy. Prophesy and say to these dry bones, dry bones, hear ye the word of the Lord. Oh, but the bones are dry. God said, speak to them, they can hear you. When you speak my word, they hear my word. Because everything was created by my word. And so they have ears to hear the word of their creator. Don't speak your own words. No, no, your own words don't have power. Speak the word of God over the situation. Don't speak the word of man or what others are speaking in the world. You speak the word of God to that situation and shout grace in the name of Jesus. Grace in Jesus' name. With faith in your heart, you are sick in your body, you lay your hand upon that sickness and shout grace, grace, grace in Jesus' name. See, when you get home, you probably can do it better. Or just find somewhere where you can really shout, because God told Zerubbabel, shout. See, there is something about shouting. When we read and study the Bible, particularly you go in the book of Psalms, and then you see certain experiences in the Bible with the children of Israel. You see, when you shout in praise, you are declaring victory in war. That's what shout symbolizes. It's a victorious pronouncement in spiritual warfare. Remember the wall of Jericho came down when they shouted and blasted with their horn? 7 days they encompassed the wall without saying a word. They just went round in silence. But on the seventh day, praise God, the priest blasted with a horn and the people gave a shout, hallelujah! And the wall came down flat. There is victory for us in the realm of the spirit when we shout the praise of God. Grace comes from God. Shout of grace is declaring the strength of God to overcome the situation. That's why God told Zerubbabel, you just shout grace to it. It's not by your own power. It's not by your own might. Zerubbabel, even though you are the governor, you have authority in the land, you are not going to get the job done because of that. It's only going to be by my grace. Because if the devil comes against you, whether you are governor or king, you cannot do anything unless God helps you. It's not about what we have, humanly speaking. It's about God and God alone. So shout grace to that situation. Shout grace to that trouble. Shout grace to that contrary situation in your life. And watch how God sorts it out by his own power, by his own might. You enter into rest. That's why God told Zerubbabel, not by your power, not by your might. So don't struggle. Don't try to get it done in your human strength and weary yourself out. No, no, no. Depend on my strength. Look away from yourself and look to me. So you shout grace to that situation and enter into my rest. And let my grace get it done for you. Let my grace get it done for you. And let the grace of God get things done for you here this morning. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you. You are the God of all grace, who has promised to make all manner of grace available for us, so that we may have sufficiency in all things. and abound to all good work. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, who brought us grace from heaven, that we may have what it takes to live victoriously here on earth. Our eyes are on you this morning. And in the spirit of agreement, we are all one in this place this morning, declaring words of faith and relying absolutely on your grace to help us in our various needs. We pray also for our fellow brethren in this church who are not here this morning, and also our fellow brethren in the body of Christ everywhere, that you help each one of your own to remember the grace that you brought for us, and to our faith according as it is written, that your grace, O God, may help each and every one in every kind of need. And dear Lord, you take all the glory and all the honor and all the praise, for thine and thine alone is the kingdom, the power and the glory, now and forever, in Jesus' name. And everyone says, Amen.